Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. It's time. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex.
Greetings and welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex, the only show where two total dudes review one total diva show and delight the entire world. I am one half of those aforementioned dudes. I am the top hunk of pop punk, the brains behind America's favorite wrestling-themed Ramones core pop punk band, the Razor Ramones. I am Rex Razor Sharp. And joining me, as always, on this arduous journey of a nightmare is the host of Turnbuckle Turmoil, the host of the Sign of the Times, the host of Sign Guy's Wrestling Show. He is the Gene Katy to my far superior in every possible way, Robert Montgomery Knight. So let's fight for that cream and crimson, and welcome to the show, the genius known only as Sign Guy. Sign Guy, how you doing, brother?
My ribs are a little bit sore right now. A little bit sore.
Oh, is that so?
Yes.
Why?
Well, because when you said superior in every way, and then you used the phrase Robert Montgomery Knight, they may have broken in the laughter. But
oh,
other than
well,
that,
was...
I have survived monsoon season. Unlike the poor sap the other day, I was not struck by any fallen trees.
Well, let's take a minute here. The only thing I could think Gene Katy would be superior to Robert Montgomery Knight at would possibly be, being a short, fat, comb-over Goomba?
Nah.
He's definitely superior there, you gotta agree.
No, because he's not Italian.
Well, I mean, he looks like a Goomba from the Mario Brothers games.
Nah. Plus,
yeah,
he's not short.
Oh, yeah, he is. He's a midget.
He's 6'1".
I'd be looking down on him.
Well, yeah, because you'd climb on a ladder.
Yeah, I would, just spit on his head.
He wouldn't let you do that. He'd tip your ladder over. He'd say, how's that fall?
He wouldn't have a chance because I would have already jumped off the ladder to kick him in the face.
You wouldn't because, oh, there's other people around, so I'm too scared to actually follow through on my threat, and then you would run away and hide. Run away and hide.
What?
And Gene Katy would say,
through.
Do you think I'm Daniel Bryan? Why are you running? What about the spitting on my head? And you'd shout, leave me alone, Gene Katy. I have to run and hide now.
No, I followed through on every single thing I've ever said in my life.
Did you go see Daniel Bryan spit in his face?
I couldn't.
Because you can't follow through on things you say?
No, there was an issue.
Yeah, you were scared, petrified.
Yeah. Of Daniel Bryan? I'm like four feet taller than him.
Then why didn't you go and spit in his face like you promised?
I had things to do, stuff and things.
Like following through on the promise you made, which you just said you always did?
No. That was not one of the things I had to do, no.
Yeah, it is because you said it for multiple weeks on this very program.
I do
and then
what
when
I want.
It came
I'm
down to it, you said, oh no, other people might be there too. I thought it was just going to be a private meeting between myself and Daniel Bryan, but there will be witnesses to my cowering, so I must flee.
I thought I was going to drive him to Taco Bell again, and then I found out that's not what it was.
Zane Paisley is probably just telling everyone he knows. I don't really know a Rex Razor Sharp. No, never heard of him. Wouldn't associate myself with that coward.
The only coward here is Gene Katie.
Yeah, I'm thinking not, because the man's the bravest man that ever lived.
I agree, because he decided to get the hell out of Purdue and go work in a real city like New York.
Nah, he just decided to retire from the coaching profession. It got to be a bit much with the travel.
Yeah, he retired as a coach, so what's his job currently?
He's in the broadcasting field.
But what was his job most recently, post-Purdue?
He also worked for the Toronto Raptors as a special coach.
What you're forgetting is that he was a coach, an assistant coach, for St. John's.
Yeah,
that,
he also did St. John's.
Yeah, I've had enough of this Purdue bullshit, you know, this constant underachieving and failing. Let's get out of here. I've had superstars like Brad Miller and Lonzo Martin and Steve Scheffler, and we still couldn't do anything. Might as well go do nothing at St. John's and live in a real city.
Yeah, he didn't say that at all.
Yes, he did. I quoted him. It's a legit quote from him. I wouldn't quote that if it wasn't true.
Yes, it was. It'd be like the whole Daniel Bryan thing. You're like, I'm going to be big and strong on this show and then cower in fear when confronted by anyone.
Well, I'm not cowering right now in defense of the truth.
I bet you're hiding under blankets right now. You probably have 3 blankets pulled up over your head, and you're shouting out, if anyone sees Gene Katie out there, tell him I moved to Alaska. But don't tell him the town.
I'm actually sitting on a heating pad right now. I'm not under any blankets. So I hurt my back last night. Would you like to hear the story of this? This is a pretty interesting story.
Actually, I'm just going to presume it was from running from Gene Katie and move on. So,
no,
the tea I'm currently
not.
Drinking right now is still this Zen tea.
It's
a delightful blend with some mint. Very delightful. I recommend this Zen tea by Tazo if anyone is looking for a delightful tea to have after Total Dudes is finished. Zane Paisley might like it. He likes tea.
So he left Purdue to go be assistant coach in Toronto. And then an assistant
coach. A special coach. He didn't actually travel with the team.
Well, he did travel with St. John's. Man, can you imagine? Like, Toronto and St. John's both said, yeah, Purdue fella, you're just not good enough to coach our teams, the Toronto Raptors and the St. John's whatevers. Oof.
Redmen.
You could be an assistant. And he's like, oh, sure. And he jumped at the chance because all he's known all his life is failure and loss and constant heartbreak. So I understand.
That's not how it went at all. Plus, he specifically sought out a special coaching position because he didn't want to travel at that point.
Yeah, because the Purdue Boilermakers had been so good in the 2000s. I'm sure that's why he left.
Yeah, he retired like a couple of years before he took that position.
Yeah, in 2005 he retired. And the Boilermakers, they were so great. Oh, and
at least you can admit it freely now.
Oh, yeah, all those Final Four appearances and championships they won under Katie. No. They didn't. I'm wrong.
No, you're right. They won several Big Ten championships.
Those are the sounds I make when I...
You need a minute while you finish up in the loo.
No. So my back...
Are you sure?
Done.
Because I'm sure Zane Paisley's meme would be horrific to small children if they saw it.
No, I'm not in the bathroom. I'm on a heating pad.
That's even sicker. What kind of sick freak are you?
I'm shitting the bed. I do what I want. I shit the bed just like Purdue in the NCAA tournament. Boom. Shit in the bed. Boom.
That didn't even make any sense. Why wouldn't they just go to the loo?
They shit the
bed. Unlike some people who don't wear pants.
Man. So, I just looked. Gene Cady, he had six Big Ten regular season championships. That's pretty good.
Good enough to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but there's this other fella who had twice that many in the same frame of time. This other fella, he also had three actual NCAA championships and five appearances in the Final Four. Something Gene Cady never did. What's that fella's name? Robert Montgomery motherfucking Knight. Boom.
And what did he have to do to supplement his income because he was such a poor quality coach that they wouldn't pay him enough to support himself? He had to open up a sandwich shop in Nashville. It's like, please buy my sandwiches. I need the money. Don't go to Subway. Jerry doesn't need your money. I do.
When they hired Gene Cady to coach the U.S. Men's Olympic team because of his high quality caliber. Oh wait, that was Bobby Knight too. Ah, damn. Man, Gene Cady's really done nothing.
Hall of Fame, championships you spoke of earlier. Greatest talk show in the history of college basketball.
No. You can't even go there. That Bobby Knight show was way better.
It was horrible. The only thing worse in recorded television history was the Reggie Miller show, which, as everyone knows,
Bobby Knight brought in that donkey dressed up like a Purdue fan and talked about how gross they are.
So he ripped off Dusty Rhodes and Ric Flair from an early 2000s Thunder.
Also, Bobby Knight, have you seen the segment of his show where he flips out, loses his mind, and starts screaming and cursing, and it's awesome?
No, nobody saw that because no one ever watched the show.
Yeah, Bobby Knight and the Purdue mascot. That was the donkey one. Let me find that Bobby Knight show cursing video because I think you need to hear this. This is fun. Because we're celebrating all things Indiana Hoosiers tonight because...
No, we're not. Nobody in their right mind would do that.
No, that's what tonight is. Tonight's a celebration of the Indiana Hoosiers.
It is not.
That was
just because you don't wear pants and you don't go to school and you claim it's spring break when it's clearly not spring doesn't mean there's a celebration of things that suck.
You saw the format for the show. You signed off on it.
I did, and there is no such celebration anywhere on it.
Then who signed off on it when I said, tonight we're going to celebrate all things Indiana Hoosiers? How great
nobody did because nobody in their right mind would do that. If you read the show description, it clearly states instead of that, we're supposed to talk Mr. Belvedere. Now, in the last season of Mr. Belvedere, what were they thinking when they took serious storylines? They took things that were pertinent to society, and then they made Mr. Belvedere bump his head, and then he would get like amnesia, and he'd get strange, rare African diseases that pop up only every 7 years, and he would think he was all these wacky characters dressed in another costume every 2 minutes. It was just bizarre. Why would they do that to Mr. Belvedere?
She'll take this fucking show off.
There you go. Bobby Knight. Did you hear him?
No, I was talking about our real subject, Mr. Belvedere. So why would they do that? Why did they make Mr. Belvedere so ridiculously over-the-top silly as opposed to the previous six established seasons of him being a serious character for the most part?
I could not answer that for you.
But that's like the main point of the show. Did you not read the show description?
Nope.
Well, see, you need to do that.
Well, you do too, because you forgot tonight was all about the Indiana Hoosiers. Who's your favorite Hoosier?
No, it wasn't, because clearly nobody in their right mind would do that.
Is Yogi Ferrell the greatest Indiana-born Indiana Hoosier? I'm not. Man,
no,
it's
because
hard.
Yogi Bear lives in Jellystone Park.
Man, it's hard to decide. I can't decide if I would pick him or if I would pick Steve Alford. They're both very excellent choices.
One lives in Jellystone Park. One moved into Mexico, I think.
New Mexico, I believe.
That's what I just said, New Mexico.
Yeah.
I believe he renounced anything that he had ever done east of the Mississippi.
That's the thing. Are you a bigger fan? Are you more of a Thomas Bryant fan? I think he's excellent.
The little kid from Home Improvement?
Thomas Bryant? No.
Yeah, Zachary Ty Bryant, or whatever his name was.
Yeah, and Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Now,
no,
the
Thomas
episode
Bryant.
Where he was busted by his parents for getting into drugs, and they flipped
the
reality with the show, and they made Jill the parent that had done time for drug possession. That was an interesting twist.
Yeah,
interesting twist.
Yeah, given Tim Taylor's cocaine arrests, yes.
Yeah, and they flipped the two with the reality in the show. It was an interesting twist to it. But that Zachary Ty Bryant's acting in that episode was superb.
Yeah.
Now, did you like him better, or did you like Jonathan Taylor Thomas better acting-wise?
Oh, I was definitely a Zachary Ty Bryant. I thought he was way better.
All right. Now, what did you think of the other son? Because that kid just could not act to save his life.
Well, I liked him when he got older and he became real goth, and it was ridiculous. That show got really stupid. But the drug weed episode, that happened when I was in high school. It was on, and all the stoners at school, they were, like, losing their minds, like, oh, he's smoking pot. And I was like, yeah, you guys, I watch wrestling. I don't know. I don't have time for this bullshit.
Now, when he went all goth, I think I might have preferred that a little bit over, like, the over-the-top crybaby type of thing. Like, when he had to take karate because he was too scared to, like, stand up for himself. And then Jill beat up the bully parent because Kim couldn't take her in a fight.
I believe when he went goth, his best friend was played by the character that played Rufio in the movie Hook.
That's possible. Now, the last year of Home Improvement kind of mirrors Mr. Belvedere in that it lost its way from what it originally was. It took a really odd turn, and they made it just completely different than what the show was when it was doing well and drawing a lot of viewers. Mm.
Yeah, and they I think it jumped the shark, if you will, when they had Al Borland hook up with that broad.
That's a possibility, and they were once a weekers, as Al always pointed out.
Yeah, very bizarre. And Wilson, I think, was the worst character.
Wilson was tremendous because they would go to bizarre lengths to keep that face covered.
Yeah, it was dumb.
That was part of the intrigue. How are they going to cover Wilson's face this week?
What are they going to do? How will they do it this week? His face. They got to hide it.
That was a great turning point in the show. Although, the episode where the Beach Boys came in and they were all related to Wilson, that got bizarre.
Yeah. Right, but the weird thing is because the Beach Boys were led at this point by Mike Love, whose name is in no way Wilson and is no way related to the Wilson family.
No, but I believe their problems stemmed from the late 60s.
A lot of LSD.
Yeah, so, you know, that's when Wilson's beef popped up in the late 60s, and he's like, wait, I was supposed to be part of that group.
Oh, was he? So they reference the Wilson brother that died regularly in regards to the Beach Boys, but fucking this fucking Wilson, they don't even mention once. Imagine, that's probably why he hides his face all the time.
Could be.
It really hurts him. Really hurts him. I'm
well, it would hurt you too, wouldn't it, if like the Razor Ramones dumped you and they brought in like Joe T. Sharp, and then 20 years later they were making millions of dollars per song, and you're like, hey, I was supposed to be part of that. I was the brains behind the America's favorite Ramones core pop punk wrestling themes band, and they were like, sorry, we got this other guy.
No, I would think it was hilarious watching those two fucking idiots try to do anything on their own without drooling all over themselves.
That's why they would have Joe T. Sharp.
They need a strong hand to guide them, like me.
Is that a Beast Barnett reference?
I don't know. I don't see Rufio on Home Improvement, but apparently he was one of the main characters on Moesha, a show that's been referenced on here before.
Yeah, it has, because Brandy was on it.
Yeah, he was the character Marco.
I don't see.
I'm positive he was on Home Improvement, but I'm not seeing it. Huh. Well, what's the scuttlebutt around the water cooler now that we're a half hour into this bullshit?
Well, the scuttlebutt around the water cooler seems to be teachers in the state of Indiana don't know when spring actually is, which happens to be 22nd of March, same as every other year.
Give us some more of your excellent stand-up routine you're working on.
I'm not working on a stand-up routine.
No, this is a great bit. Keep it going. It's a great bit. It's really excellent. Keep it going.
It's not a bit. It's real life.
Yeah, it's a great bit. Really like it. It's going to take you far.
Knowing when spring is? Well, it would take me farther than teachers that do not.
Yeah. Now you got it. Now you're getting there. Yeah. Talk about the teachers. Okay. Now, the day of spring. Well, you need some big hook to really drive this bit home. What do you got?
You said you looked up Hook and you couldn't find the guy. You couldn't find him on Home Improvement. You found him on Hook.
Yeah. I'm trying to see. I've got things in the work. The things in the fire, the kettles,
the coals
in the kettle. The Kohl's, the fire. I went to Kohl's earlier. You know what I bought? This will be
a tea kettle?
Nope. I bought an Indiana Hoosiers hoodie, and I bought Indiana Hoosiers t-shirt.
So you were out of toilet paper, huh?
No, we have plenty of toilet paper. I was buying these.
Well, they're on my body.
No, I wear them on my body.
You said you don't wear pants, so I'm guessing you probably don't wear hoodies.
I wear shirts and hoodies regularly. I wear hoodies constantly.
Huh.
Yeah, no, I don't wear pants, though. I wear shorts. I'm the Kevin Owens of this house. Batting around in my end one shorts. Now, here's a question. Which show would you say you prefer? Home Improvement or Modern Family?
I'd go with the Home Improvement because I don't know what Modern Family is.
You don't watch Modern Family? It's the modern version of all those mid-90s television shows. It's an excellent show, excellent show. I can't believe you don't watch it.
Oh, all right.
Ed O'Neill is the dad on it. Man, you would love it. It's a show that's made like right for you. It's just like all those dumbass shows.
Oh. Now, would you say that Home Improvement may have jumped the shark also potentially when they brought in the guy to be the new representative after Benford Tools was sold?
I don't remember.
Because Mac Robinson kind of killed the thing off. He's like the pushy boss, like trying to completely change what Tool Time was, and and like they didn't get along.
That.
They were always bickering.
But I'm looking at the picture of Mark from Home Improvement when he went goth with his friend, and I really think that is Rufio, but I'm not positive.
Well, hopefully B. Sparnett can report back to us, yay or nay,
if it
is or not.
I'll share the picture. We'll get some discussions going on it.
Hopefully a nice lengthy one, unlike Beast's last movie subject where he wanted to know favorite movies, and he was surprised by QT's pick because Beast anticipated QT's favorite movie to be Any Way Which But Loose. It was not.
It was not. Well, good story. Hey, let's move along. We've talked about bullshit long enough. Maybe you should hit the music. Segment of the show where we take a scene from the episode of Total Divas we watched, we transcribe said scene, and we recreate it for you, the listener, at no additional charge. Tonight's scene will feature Sign Guy just looking so good as Nikki Bella, and I will be the regular physical manifestation of understandable human behavior, Kathy Colas. And scene.
We saw a baby alligator yesterday.
Ah! Hey, I have a question. Alligators can't, like, crawl up anything, right?
Right.
Can they stand on their tail?
No.
I don't know how.
No. Like a kangaroo?
Yeah!
The thing is, when they run straight, they're super fast. That's why they tell you to run football side to sides.
Yeah, but if you do...
I'm turning...
If you zigzag too fast, you'll just end up running straight.
Yeah, but if you're zigzagging, no matter what, you're not running straight.
Yeah, right. But if you're zigging and you're zagging, and you zig across your zag...
Yeah, but if you make your zigzag too long, you're going straight. Another... way, and he's coming after you that way.
Right, right. Granted, fair. Fair enough. Excellent point. You've made a very astute observation, Nikki. But what I'm saying is that he doesn't even have to zigzag because eventually he's going to cross over and he can get you.
Maybe.
And scene. Sign guy, what the fuck was this?
This was a scene that had no connection at all to the episode whatsoever. And normally Bree Bella would be in the place of Kathy Coles, but she was apparently on holiday. So since Kathy Coles was coming to visit Nikki, they put her in the car with Nikki and they said, could you think of something really ridiculous to argue about? And no one will be right because it's so ridiculous there can't be a right answer. And Kathy Coles was like, no, I'm far too intelligent for that. And they said, well, give your daughter 6 bottles of wine. She said, okay, I'll try it.
Now, why did she think an alligator could stand up on its tail like a kangaroo?
I don't think Kathy Coles did. I think they said, now think like Bree, because we want one of our Bree and Nikki ride-along segments. And she's like, knowing Bree, since she is one of my daughters, she would think an alligator can stand on its tail and bounce around like a kangaroo from Winnie the Pooh. So she's like, that's what I'll go with. And so that's what she said.
Now, kangaroos don't really do that, right?
No.
And that's like, it's Tigger that does that, isn't it?
The kangaroos also can.
Do they?
Yeah, Roo used to do
I don't remember Kanga or Roo doing that.
I'm pretty sure Roo used to. I think Tigger taught him.
Oh, that could be. Yeah, maybe, perhaps Tigger taught him, but that's what I was wondering during this whole segment. Like, first off, the absurdity of an alligator standing up on its tail, which is weird because it makes no sense. Their tails aren't prehensible. They don't, you know, it's not like a hand or anything. They're just a tail. Like, does she think cats can stand up on their tails? And then for Nikki to justify it by saying, oh, you mean like kangaroos? Which is not a thing that kangaroos fucking do.
She must have seen that episode of Winnie the Pooh where Roo learned how to do that from Tigger. And in her mind, all kangaroos can do that.
I'm looking to see if Roo did do this, but I'm not seeing. No, Roo, I don't think it's possible. I'm looking at a picture of Roo right now. His tail is fucking tiny.
Yeah, but in the animated world of Winnie the Pooh, they would let him do it.
No, I don't think so. Winnie the Pooh was pretty straightforward in its animation. It held true to its world and the idea of absurdities such as that happening. I just don't see that being a part of Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, I could see it. I'm pretty sure it happened. We'll need a Disney expert to comment on
this. I'm a Disney goddamn expert, and I'm commenting and telling you there's not a chance. His tail
I wouldn't
is
say
tiny.
You're an expert.
I am absolutely an expert. His tail is tiny. There's no way. No way. Uh-uh. It didn't happen. You're wrong.
But yet, you think a bear would walk around wearing a T-shirt.
Yeah, in their world, they've set up these worlds. It's just like how in Lucha Underground, you can have a guy's face getting eaten off by a murderous brother in a cage. But that wouldn't work, you know, in WWE. It's just like in Winnie the Pooh. Sure, a bear wears a fucking T-shirt. No pants, like a fucking creep. In real life, you see a fucking guy walking around with a shirt, fucking no pants. Even, you know, you would have some issues. But in their world, it works. They have their world. And in their world, they don't do a lot of absurdities. You know, they don't have, like, Winnie the Pooh growing a fifth arm so he can get another pot of honey. He gets stuck in a pot of honey. They don't do absurdities in Winnie the Pooh. It's not like you're watching a Goofy thing where I would say, certainly, that may happen. It's not like you're watching a Toy Story movie where they can make any sort of wackiness happen. No. You're watching Winnie the Pooh, where a fucking bear gets stuck in a jar of honey every goddamn episode.
So show me the physical proof where a tiger can bounce on its tail.
I'm not saying they can't. I'm saying in their world, they established that it was possible.
Well, then it could
just
be
like,
possible for a kangaroo to learn from the tiger the art of tail bouncing.
That's absurd, and it does not fit in with Winnie the Pooh. You're wrong.
Well, it's absurd for a tiger to be able to bounce and sing on its tail.
Ooh! See, the wonderful thing about tigers, yeah, don't you dare. Just stop. You're defending Nikki Bella right now.
Someone has to.
Yeah, no one has to.
Someone has to, because Kathy Colas didn't later in the episode.
Now, I love this episode of the show. And if I were to rename this episode, Sign Guy, I would rename it Lil Baby Bird Dicks. So who'd you hate, Sign Guy?
I would rename the episode Raccoon Face.
Man, okay. This episode, there weren't a lot of people I disliked. There weren't a lot of people there wasn't a lot going on outside of, you know, Rose's stuff, Nikki Bella's next stuff, and then the amazing, amazing, amazing stuff that was the Neidhart family. So just go on, start with Natty. I know she's your number one.
She is not.
Whoa! All right, then who's your number one? Man,
Matt.
Is this the first? No, hold on. Is this the first where I don't have Brie Bella as my number one and you don't have Natty as your number one?
We'd have to go through the episodes and check that, or ask Zane Paisley, who probably has that information at the ready.
But, okay, I heard you say him. Matt. Motherfucking Matt. Yeah. Let's talk about motherfucking Matt. I hate motherfucking Matt.
I dislike both brothers.
Yes.
But by far, Matt was my number one. He was the most annoying person that has ever appeared on this show that wasn't a regular.
Mm-hmm.
By far. Even more than Eva Marie's brothers.
Oh, well. We'll see.
I think
we'll
by far.
He needs another chance. Until we put him at that level, but it's close.
Well, he didn't make a good first impression. The first thing we see out of Matt.
Yeah. He didn't make a good first impression. The first words I wrote is, this fella is absolute garbage. So, yeah, go ahead.
We see him at the beach. Rosa decided to take Mandy and her two brothers to the beach so they could be creepy.
Mm-hmm.
And while Mandy is busy stroking one brother's hair, the other brother is just bouncing around like Shane McMahon during an entrance.
Bobby Szymanowski!
Yeah, he's just mocking Rosa Mendez for being upset that her boyfriend went to Vegas and chose to run his business rather than sit at home and do nothing but stare at her all day while she ate.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll get to her, too. We'll get to her.
At this brother just bouncing around like Shane McMahon is on some sort of hallucinogen or something. He was all over the place.
Bobby Szymanowski!
Good Lord, it's spreading. But he was just out of control. And he kept mocking her, like, oh, yeah, he's probably there, and probably got all kinds of broads with him. He's probably doing all kinds of stuff. Yeah, he's probably in the pool, and it's a tiny little pool. Let's run into the ocean and pretend we're in the pool like Bobby. And it was bizarre. And they get in this car, and they're riding home, and he's bouncing around like Shane McMahon again, and being all weird. And then Bobby calls, and he's like, oh, no, that guy's going to kill me. He's going to kill me. It was like Rex Sharp going to see Daniel Bryan. He just would not do it, would not speak, just shut up. He's like, I'm afraid, I hope Daniel Bryan doesn't kick me in the face. I'll pretend I didn't say anything about him ever. Mm. He'll never see the footage of this show. And so he just sat there. And then as soon as they get to the house, bouncing around like Shane McMahon doing an entrance, getting in there being all weird.
Yeah.
And you know he's, like, telling everyone that he's, like, an NXT superstar because his sister is signed to them. So he's probably, like, living through her. Oh, yeah, I'm an NXT superstar. I go hang out with John Cena at his house all the time when we train. Yeah, yeah. You know he's doing stuff like that.
Huh.
And his brother's just sitting there saying, hey, Mandy, why don't you, you know, play with my hair while I'm shirtless? And she's like, can I? And he's like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, baby. So he was creepy, but not as unlikable as this Matt fella. He needs to just go away. He needs to be thrown in the hall next to Josh.
Yeah, this Matt creep, he's a fucking creep. Just like you said, him mocking Bobby and Rose at the beach was just disgusting. Like, shut the fuck up, you fucking creep. Hey, Bobby, Shabazz, ugh, I hate him. And then guess what? Oh, it's just old Matt being wacky at the sushi joint. You know, Rose is very, she knows what she wants in her dish. She's laying it out to the chef, letting them know what she likes, what she doesn't like, the sorts of things. So they will create her these dishes that cater to her palate, what she'll enjoy, ensuring that she doesn't waste her money. And then this guy goes, oh, we gonna do that? Hey, I like salt and pepper. Fuck you.
It would have been funny if he would have said that, and then the actual rap group that was there at WrestleMania 11 came out and started singing.
Or they just rolled up a bunch of salt and pepper rolls. No cucumber in there. No, maybe no jalapenos. No, tuna. No spicy tuna. No eel. Nigiri's out, you know. Just salt and pepper in a roll, and then they serve it to him like, there you go, you fucking idiot. Add salt and pepper wrap.
Tea do you think this Matt fella chose to go with his meal?
He probably just drinks just plain green tea. You know, he's definitely getting a lot of caffeine in him.
I bet he just asked, do you have a Lipton black tea? And he wants him to just, like, pour, like, the 1970s Lipton out of a can into his glass and serve it to him.
What a dork. He probably drinks those cans of Lipton.
Probably. Probably has, like, a refrigerator full of them. And when people come to the house, he's bouncing around. You want a tea? You want a tea? I got Lipton tea. You want a tea? We can do the tea plunge. And they're like, but that was Nest tea. He's like, yeah. Same thing.
Oh, this fucking guy was just the worst. Yeah, he was garbage.
But you know what? I bet somewhere Shane McMahon is watching this. And you're like, this is the greatest television we've ever produced. I love this Matt guy. We need him on the main roster.
Yeah, and I bet that's how he's going to defeat The Undertaker. He's going to be having problems, and then the music's going to hit, and we'll be like, good God, who's that? Who's that? And it'll just be him going, hey, Bobby Sabansky. And then he'll come down, and then him and Shane will do a bunch of shitty punches, and then Undertaker will lose.
Possible.
Now, enough about Matt and his creep brother. Person that I disliked the most this week was Rosa. Did she make your list?
She did not, but I had about 15 people that I wanted to put in the three spots.
Really? I didn't
have. Yeah.
I only had two people I really disliked, so it was not a great week for me with dislikes. But Rosa, I associate love with pain, Natty. Jesus Christ, grow the fuck up, Sylvia Plath, you asshole. Like, all right, so her deal this episode is that she's upset this whole episode because her fella Old Bobby Shabransky, he's going out to Vegas. He says he's got work to tend to with his buddy, this fella named Rodney Radke. Yeah, Rodney. He's in this band called Falling in Reverse. Basically, if you put a face on hepatitis, it would be this guy. So if you're just trying to think of your brain sign guy, what this guy looks like, this Rodney Radke, that's his best friend. Just think about hepatitis, put like a human face on it, and that's him. Okay? Can you picture him?
I think so.
All right. So that's his best friend, the walking hepatitis nightmare. And he's, you know, he's got to go to Vegas. He's got to go do work. And so, you know, at first I was like, being upset about a fella going to Vegas is kind of silly, right? It's kind of silly. But then again, she's got to know what kind of a dirtbag goon this creep is that she's with, right? Because most normal people could go on their business trip to Vegas, no incident at all, nothing to worry about. You know, you don't want them to go. You tell them, you know, I'll miss you, this and that, but they're going to do their stuff. But you've got to worry about it a little bit when you're fucking Johnny Goofball of the Satan T-shirt Company, I guess, hanging out with old walking hepatitis sore. And I get it, right? So can we give her that we don't think she's totally crazy? Do we agree, sign guy?
I would have if they had known each other for longer than, like, 2 months.
Yeah, I can give you that, too. But, I mean, look at the fucking guy.
Yeah, but still, I mean, she had no real history to fall back on what he might do. And it seemed like a legitimate business trip because he probably wants to sell his T-shirts at the casinos and things of that nature.
Okay.
So I can definitely see him going on a trip, and she's like, I just don't want you to go. Just sit here. Make as much money as you do working, but don't actually work, is what she was telling him.
You know, she's got to realize how hot the casinos, you know, there's all these, you know, 8,000-year-old grandmas, and they just really love these shirts of, like, the Virgin Mary getting an abortion or whatever shirts he makes. So, I mean, she's got to understand, there's some big business there that he might be missing with all the, you know, like an upside-down cross that says, like, bird boner or something, I don't know. So, I mean, you know, she's got to understand. So I did kind of get it at first. At first, when it started, I was like, all right, Rose is not being that wacky because this guy is a fucking creep. And he's going to hang out with fucking Herpes Sore Johnson at the fucking most debaucherous place in the United States. Okay, I get it. But then, oh, God, then. So she decides to go to the beach, as we've said, with her great friend Mandy and Mandy's two creep brothers.
Not only that, she flew them in.
Yeah, she flew them in, and they're all hanging out, you know. All, you know, they all got their clothes off. All these hot naked fellas. She's rolling around with Mandy, rubbing lotion all over each other, and then she's like, "Oh my God, you guys, look at this picture. It's Bobby, and he's shirtless, and he's at a pool. Oh my fuck!" And she lost her mind that a fella was at a pool and was shirtless. No, he wasn't at, like, a strip club snorting coke off of fucking tits. He wasn't, you know, out at some casino gambling away all his baby's tattoo money. No, he was at a pool with his friend. Not with a bunch of prostitutes or anything. His friend. We're at a pool. Just in the pool, shirtless, and she lost her mind. So what does she do, sign guy?
She decides she would take a picture with Mandy and the brothers as much as they could get away with being half naked, and then she would post that for Bobby to see as her revenge. Like, look, I'll bring in strange men that you don't know, have them wearing just a pair of shorts like they're Rex Razor Sharp, and then you won't know what's going on. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, the exact thing that she was worried that he would do, she then just goes and does and has no concern for it because she does not realize in her brain that this is ridiculous to do. So, you know, then she's mad that he's not answering his fucking phone because guess what? He's fucking working. And then finally he calls her, of course, because of course he's going to. He's like, so what the fuck's this fucking picture you're taking? Who are these fucking dudes? What are you doing? What is wrong with you? She's like, oh, that's just my friends. What are you so nervous about? I don't know. You're fucking naked with all these dudes. Like, these guys, there's lust in their eyes. You can see it. Like, there's lust in their eyes. They're looking at her. They're thinking about what, you know, they just want to, those creeps.
To be fair, the one brother, Greg, was looking lustily, but it was at his sister.
And so, blah, blah, blah. She has all her issues, and she finally gets home, and she's like, he's clearly hiding something from me, and they keep playing this up as like a commercial, like, break thing, so you'll tune back in. Even though on this show, they always lay out when there's some issue right off the beginning. They don't hide these kind of things. So you knew there was nothing wrong. So, especially when there's 5 minutes left to go. So she finally gives it, and he's like, I was looking for a ring for you. You think he changed his mind after that, though?
He probably changed it while he was getting the ring. Now, the thing you didn't mention... Now, this picture with Mandy and her brothers, with Greg looking lustily at his sister after she had, like, laid on the beach half naked with him, like, playing with his hair. Ugh. What did B.J. Whitmer look-alike dude think?
I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know, because he had to have seen the picture, and he's like, why is my girlfriend's brother got his hand on her bum? That's kind of weird. And he's like, hey, I know I look like B.J. Whitmer, but I want to know what's going on here. And she's like, oh, no, Rosa needed me, so I had to have my brother fill me up. It's legitimate. It helped Rosa.
Yeah, that's fine. It's just my brother. On this show, that's par for the course.
Now, do you think that Mandy and Brie Bella go on double dates with JJ and BJ Whitmer lookalike guy?
Yes. Actually, no. I don't think this Mandy is allowed around any of the divas at any point except on the show. She's fucking nobody, and they all hate her, clearly, because she's the, total, what is it called? What's the show? Total
the
champion?
Tough Enough.
Tough Champ, yeah. She's that, and so they all hate her. So I bet the second the cameras are off, none of them talk to her.
I bet Rosa still does. Rosa's like, hey, you saw that brother that bounces around like Shane McMahon doing an entrance?
Who else do you hate?
Number two, I had Natty. Now,
oh, my God. Oh, fuck.
Natty starts the show off. She's doing mommy's makeup, and she's got this black makeup that makes her mother look like a raccoon. The Anvil freaks out because he's like, I'm going to get arrested because people are going to think I was punching her in the face.
Again.
Again, yeah. So, yeah, like legitimate worries, like she was just going to let her leave the house like that, and he was going to go to jail for something he didn't do. Natty's oblivious to it. Oh, Daddy's worried. Ha, 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 ha. Probably because he would do a few days in jail while they cleared it up. Natty's oblivious. And then she's like, oh, we should all get our pictures taken. But before we snap
the pictures,
I want to...
Wait. Pause. There's a great comment here that I have to bring up. So Natty's doing her mom's makeup, and then she goes to her dad, and he says, "Oh, you need to get a little powder on your nose, Dad." And he's all just probably thinking, "I wish, brother. I wish I could get a bunch of powder on my nose." Okay.
Right, and then she started spraying something on him.
Yeah, it was not powder.
It wasn't even
all.
Powder. It was like some sort of liquid she was spraying at him.
Yeah, and then Natty just starts slamming her mom's head around trying to make her take this selfie.
He, like, choked her, slammed her head down on her shoulder.
Close your eyes and then open them. God damn it. Will you put your head, your neck, your, what are you doing with your chin? Just, so good.
But Natty decides she wants to get this family photo because they didn't want to get family photos when she was growing up because everyone was too embarrassed and ashamed. And so,
and then again, this all comes while they're looking at the photos of the anvil, and it's this picture of him in some sort of Olympic sort of situation, and then he just starts telling stories about banging the Russian shot put.
He didn't actually. He said that the Russian coaches actually just wanted him to be there.
He never said he didn't.
He never said he didn't, but Anvil he's probably so messed up. He went to the wrong country's hotel and
got confused.
Russia,
the hammer, the sickle in the anvil. Do you think maybe this is? Oh my God, what have we stumbled into here?
No, he was saying the Russia thing because he used to portray a Russian back in Bill Watts' day.
All right, go on. Sorry, there's so much greatness with the Neidhart family here. I just want to toss in these little gold nuggets. They were amazing.
Was that an Owen Hart reference?
It was for Owen Hart Day. I just wish the show was just them. They always make me so happy.
Now, Natty decides. Okay, interrupt me again.
Oh, go on.
No, because that's our thing. I'll start to say it, and then you interrupt me.
Oh, but wait,
so Natty decides.
Wait. Oh, he wanted to get the group family tattoo.
Yep. Which would have been better. Imagine Ellie getting the anvil tattoo. They all get these anvils tattooed on various parts of their body. And Ellie's like, where should I get my anvil, Nat? How about my
I
hip,
want the Nat? Tramp stamp. The tramp stamp so I can shoot at it when I get done. That's so gross.
So Natty decides they need this family photo, but before they snap the pictures, okay, go ahead and interrupt.
I'm just kidding.
You're sure? Because it was kind of our thing.
Well, what about? Oh, go on.
So Natty decides to take this picture. But before they snap the picture, she decides, I want to take every ounce of fun out of this and make everyone as miserable as possible. So I just have to think of ways to make this regrettable for everyone involved. Now, Ellie took hours upon hours of her life to sew outfits specifically for this one photo. And the first words out of Natty's mouth, I hate it. Just hates the outfits that she made. And
well,
she's like,
let's
take
describe,
those.
Let's describe these outfits.
I was going to, and then someone was going with the gimmick.
Oh, my God. I can't. The boa. Go for it. Go.
Anvil's shirt featured these skeleton hands on his sides. And Nat had this huge issue for it. And Nelly said, gotta have the internet. They're for the grandchildren. They don't even have grandchildren.
What? Yeah, who are these grandkids?
They don't have any, but Ellie forgot.
Right.
She forgot they don't have grandkids.
Do they have another kid?
No.
I didn't even think of that.
That was the first thing I thought. I'm like, how did Ellie forget she doesn't have grandkids? But
oh
she did.
God.
Just forgot she didn't have grandkids. So now he's like,
you
but mommy,
maybe,
you don't have grandkids. And Matt's like,
maybe Natty, yeah. Maybe she's just gotten so infuriated with her mom's failing mental state. And, you know, they always let her get away with stuff like putting kids' gloves on shirts. But Natty's just finally just like, God damn it, Mom, you don't have grandkids. Why aren't you normal? Why aren't you normal? Maybe not.
And then, like, the pink and black looked horrible on most of them, but Natty's like, it has to be pink and black. It has to be pink and black. They don't all walk around every day of their lives wearing pink and black. But Natty's like, we have to have pink and black or else. And so they look all ridiculous.
Yeah, oh,
Anvil's shirt was three sizes too small.
Natty made sure to note, though, that everybody has even showered today.
Yes. They had to shower to get the raccoon makeup off of Ellie. And nobody wanted to do this picture. They were just doing it to humor Nat. Everyone's like, okay, we'll get the picture. She'll be fine. But then Nat's like, okay, since you're humoring me, I'm going to make sure you regret this for the rest of your lives by making you all miserable. And the photographer comes in. And Jen's like, hey, you want a glass of wine? Relax, you know, take it easy. Just casual couple pictures here. Photographer's like, sure. And I was like, no, you can't do this. She'll be smashed.
No,
we'll all be drunk.
She says specifically, this is not a frat boy party. As her sister calmly passes out a glass of wine to their photographer. Like, what kind of fucking frat boy party would that be?
I don't know. But she was clearly afraid that the one glass of wine would have the photographer so inebriated, she would point the camera backwards or something. And then when the photographer is trying to take the picture, now he's just screaming, close your eyes, now laugh. Close your eyes, open your eyes, laugh. To the left, to the right. And the photographer has no control anymore.
Oh, my God.
And Jenny is so frustrated, she drops her glass, shatters the glass.
Wait. Before that, what does Natty tell her sister? Do you remember?
She tells her it's not a frat boy party.
Yeah, and then she says, God, Jenny, you look 6 months pregnant.
Yeah, she did.
And starts dying laughing. He's just cackling to death. After his wife makes fun of her sister for looking fat.
And then she has the pussycat in the picture, and she keeps asking Anvil, you want to see my cat? You want to see my cat? What was she trying to do? Anvil's probably seen the cat 100 times, but she's like, you want to see my cat? You haven't seen him in 3 seconds. And it's wrapped in about 80 feet of boa, can't breathe, suffocating to death, and that's just squeezing the life out of the animal, which is just waiting for the sweet release of death. And TJ's just standing there just like, this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever done in my life, and I'm married to Natty. He wishes he could have passed on this like he passed on having anything to do with that portrait of Daniel and Bree. But alas, he could not.
Now, after watching this episode, I assume that Jenny's living with them still?
She has been since last season.
Yeah, that's what I was just... it's not really been discussed. It's just kind of been a thing, and like.
No, they discussed it. We even mentioned it on this very program.
Maybe you did with Beast or something.
No.
Or was they?
You were here.
I missed a few episodes. I missed a few.
You were here. Yeah, they mentioned, like, TJ would make fun of the fact that her sister lived with him.
Oh,
yeah, he would definitely,
man,
like, take little shots here and there.
This whole stuff with them was my favorite, like, it was impossible for me really to dislike anything this episode just of how much I was enjoying all that. Like, so good.
Now then, TJ takes Natty into the bedroom, still wearing his pink shirt and black bow tie, and he keeps punching the pussycat right in the face. Time after time after time, anytime the pussycat had tried to leave, he'd just punch it in the face. And he tells Nat, well, you got your picture, didn't you? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, you wanted him to have a good time, didn't you? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, well, then why are you running around like an idiot trying to suck the life out of people and make them want to not ever come back here ever again? And she's like, oh, yeah, I forgot.
Oh, man. Okay, so look, I'm looking at these pictures of Tigger and Rue, and Tigger is bouncing around on his tail with Rue on his back, or with Rue in his arms, but there's no fucking pictures of Rue hopping around his goddamn tail. So there is literally no precedent for Nikki Bella thinking a goddamn kangaroo stands up on its fucking tail.
Maybe those were the practices, and Rue eventually got it right on his own.
He can't. His tail is fat and tiny. Think about, like, maybe like a good summer sausage that maybe you sharpen the end of it. That's what his tail looks like.
Yeah, but a tiger can't bounce on its tail either, yet it does.
But he has a long-ass skinny tail that can wind up in a fucking coil. Rue does not.
Maybe Rue can stretch his tail out and then wind it in a coil.
What fucking show do you think this is you're watching? This is not fucking The Incredibles or some wacky superhero show. It's a fucking baby kangaroo. It does not have special powers. It's just an anthropomorphic baby kangaroo. It's
that wears a shirt.
Not... Yeah, it wears a fucking shirt because it's anthropomorphic.
Betty can bounce on his tail with enough lessons from Tigger.
He can't fucking not. His tail is in... It's a... Oh, my God. Never happened. Who else did you hate?
Number three, I had Nikki.
Yeah, she was pretty terrible.
Now,
but
Nikki,
it was hard for me to not like her because she was going through a lot of, you know, severe stuff with her neck. I can understand. And so I couldn't really dislike her, but she was pretty disliked.
I don't think she was going through severe stuff with her neck because she just blew it all off. Now, she starts off, she's upset that she's lost her Divas title. She's no longer the champion. She's like, oh, I probably won't be around much longer, and I'll have to take time off, and everyone's all sad. And she's like, I'll talk to my best friend that I've known for a week, Mandy. And so she confides everything to Mandy. And Mark Carano grabs her, like, oh, doctor appointment time. So she goes over to Carano, and he takes her into the doctor's office. They explain the MRI she had that morning, and Carano's main concern is like, oh, do we have to take her off the European tour? It's almost here. Oh, do we have to take her off TV? Creative issues. And he's freaking out. I'm like, the woman's neck has a bulge on the spine, and you're worried about does she go to Europe to wrestle or not? Like, what do you think, Carano? He pretty much laid out he's got a potential very serious problem here. So then, Nikki's riding with Kathy Colas, And she explains all this, and she's like,
"Before that,
she actually goes to a different doctor."
Let me interject.
Yeah.
I don't want to terrify you. We have no proof anywhere of kangaroos standing on their tails, but I am looking at a fucking crocodile standing on its tail, flapping it in the water, chasing after like a piece of chicken. It is standing on its fucking tail. So the fucking alligators and crocodiles can technically do that, whereas the fucking kangaroos, who we fucking know, can't. So
there's not even a crocodile on Winnie the Pooh.
No, this is the real one.
Sure.
Oh, I'll post it to you, man. This is horrifying.
Nikki goes to... Go ahead and interrupt.
I got nothing.
Nikki goes to the rehab doctor.
Oh,
and the rehab doctor prescribes this rehabilitation for her to try to avoid surgery on her neck. And he says, use this device 3 times per day. It's extremely important to try to help relieve the pressure, get this bulge off the spinal column. You have to be very diligent with it if you want to avoid the surgery. And she's like, oh, sure. She just throws it in her bag, walks off, doesn't think of it anymore. She's riding around with Kathy Coles, who she flew in to go breathe mode. Is Bree went off to Europe, apparently. And so she's telling Kathy Coles, oh, yeah, I got to go through rehab. And I wish John was my rehab coach because he goes through rehab and he's back in a couple, 3 weeks because he's Superman. And Kathy Coles is like, oh, yeah, and you would listen to him and he'd stay on top of you. And then they giggle like schoolgirls. So Nikki calls John. She's like, I want you to be my rehab coach. He's like, all right, I'll see you in 10 minutes. And so Bree goes to John's private gym, or Nikki Adams, rather, goes to John's private gym, and there, go ahead and interrupt me.
No, go for it.
Oh, come on. Keep the gimmick going.
Well, then let's talk about at the gym this fella, Rob. Can we talk about Rob? Rob made my list of favorites because... Here's why. This fella's laying out a training plan. He says, you know, you can't drink anymore. You're an alcoholic. And they're like, huh? What? An alcoholic, huh? Completely shocked. And then he says, you gotta stay focused on your goals. And then Kathy asks, what about red wine? And this guy says, red wine is almost completely out for you two. Except for 2 or 3 days a week. That's completely out. Is 3 days a week of getting Brema.
No. It wasn't 3 days a week you can drink as much as you want. It was a glass per day.
Well, that was John Cena's doing. I didn't hear Rob say that. Rob just told him it's almost out. Except for 2 or 3 days a week.
But John knew what he meant by that. That's why he said they could only have...
Maybe John Cena's just becoming a little too controlling.
Yeah, I didn't get that. But what Rob actually said was, I know the issues you have. You drink way too much. And then Nikki's face just fell like, how dare you tell me I drink too much when I can't go one single day without 8 glasses of wine. That's what happened. But then, Nikki's at the gym, and John Cena's like, all right, let's start this rehab, because John Cena, as Nikki said, eats, sleeps, and breathes rehab when he's injured, and he comes back in half the time that most people would have to come back in that type of injury. And Nikki's like, oh, he'll get me back in half the time. I won't have to have surgery. She thought just because his coach that would happen, no matter what, so she could just, you know, not have to do this rehab thing. and John's trying to get her to do the exercises, and she's on her phone, you know, Instagramming and Snapchatting, whatever it is she was doing. And he comes over and he grabs the phone. He's like, I'm going to put this where the phones go. Nikki's screaming at him, why can't I have my phone between sets? And he's like, because you're trying to rehab and I'm the coach because you specifically asked me to be your rehab coach.
Mm-hmm.
Nikki's upset. So they go to dinner and then, go ahead and interrupt me.
Now, this dinner was where John Cena made my list of favorites as well. Because the wine incident, I like to call it. They're getting their glass of wine, and then the lady, the sommelier perhaps even, comes by. She just dabs a little more wine in their glasses. And the look on John Cena's face when that lady pours that wine in their glasses is amazing. No one has ever, ever, ever looked so incredulous about something in their life. The look of just pure, just like, it's indescribable. And this is like the first episode where I've seen John Cena actually show a lot of emotional range like that. And I think he was genuinely upset. And I think it's solely because it deals with working out, the only thing he cares about.
So they're at this dinner. And, like, they get their one glass of wine for the day, because she had gone 4, maybe 5 hours since she had a glass of wine. She was getting the shakes. And so he's like, all right, this can be one of the days out of the week since you have Kathy Cole is here. And then, like, Nikki, like, all excited with herself, she got this extra glass of wine because the waiters didn't know. The waitress was like, oh, their wine glasses need filled. So she pours more wine. Nikki's like, oh, I got away with it. Ha, ha, I can have like 8 glasses of wine because this waitress doesn't know. And John's just like, what did we tell you to do? And she's like, well, I don't care because you're just going to have me back in half the time just because you're my coach. I don't actually have to do the rehab. I'm Nikki Bella.
Yes.
And I get to the house. And John's like, okay, here is your neck thing to do that the rehab doctor gave you, the physical therapist, I guess. And she's like, well, I'm not doing that. And he's like, you're supposed to do it 3 times per day and you haven't done it once today. Well, I want to relax and chill and drink water, wine, and my mom's here. And he's like, you asked for my help. This is what the doctor said you absolutely had to do diligently to avoid surgery, and you've not done it. Well, I want to be in my own home, and I want to be relaxing. I don't have time for this rehab stuff. This is stupid. You're overbearing. You're my dad. Kathy Cole's like, I wish he was your dad, baby. And she's just over there just glaring at John Cena like, we could switch off. I'll give Johnny Ace to Nikki. Be you and me. You will be Nikki's daddy.
John Cena
gets awkward. Ugh. He gets really awkward. He's like, you guys figure it out. And he runs away to hide. And then Kathy Colas is like, can I stop being Brianna and be Kathy Colas for the last segment? And they're like,
mm-hmm.
If you have to be. And so she's like, that was really mean to Johnny. She's like, what do you mean? He's my daddy. And she's like, yeah, but you asked him to be your rehab coach. And then when he tried to take you through rehab, you went off on him, went completely nuts, didn't want to do the rehab that you asked him to make sure that you went through. And she's like, I never thought of that because I'm drunk from all the wine that I'm not supposed to drink. So she had to search the whole house, and she found John in like a closet. He's just sitting in this closet all dejected. And she's like, I'm sorry. And he's like, sorry for what? And she's like, I don't know. I just want to say I'm sorry, and then I can drink wine.
What I would say is, you know, if you don't know what you're sorry for, then don't bother apologizing. You clearly don't mean it. Boom.
But she didn't remember. She'd searched that whole house for 35, 40 minutes by then, probably. She had no recollection. But finally, she's like, oh, yeah, I asked you to be my rehab coach, and I wouldn't do a single thing you said, despite the fact that it's for my own health, and I want to come back in half the time to wrestle because I can't live without wrestling, but I don't want to do any of the actual work involved. I want you to do it all.
Uh-huh.
And I think in Nikki's mind, she actually... Go ahead and interrupt me.
No, go for it.
No, go ahead. Keep the gimmick.
Go on.
All right. So I think Nikki in her own head thought to herself that, hey... Go ahead and interrupt me now. All right. She thought when she had John Cena agree to be her rehab coach, he could literally do the rehab for her, do all the work, and her neck would be healed because he did all of the exercises that she was supposed to do. I think she actually, in her mind, legitimately thought that.
Hmm.
Because she kept putting over how he comes back in half the time and he's Superman and he's so tremendous at rehab, but she literally did not one thing that any of the medical professionals told her to do in order to heal. She's like, yeah, I'm just not going to do any of that. But yet she kept talking about how she'd come back from rehab better than ever. And then she'd put over how John always comes back early because he was so great at rehab. I think she thought just being John Cena's girlfriend would mean she would get healthy through John Cena's rehabbing.
Yeah, perhaps. Well,
it doesn't work like that.
Who'd you like?
Number three, I had Bobby. Now, this guy's got to go to Vegas to sell some shirts. They have a baby coming. He spent most of his savings on these cameras to watch himself eat during the night, apparently. And his girlfriend just flips out. Don't go. Don't go. Just stay here. The baby wants you to stay here. Listen to the baby. The baby that's not born. Baby was 5 months away from being born, but it was the baby's idea to have him stay. Bobby knew better. He's like, the baby didn't say that. And he's like, oh, yeah, listen. Stay, daughter, stay. And Bobby's like, the baby didn't say that. I saw your lips moving. He's like, darn it. Rosa didn't comprehend that Bobby had to actually go out and do the work. He couldn't just have the money come to him without actually doing something. She just thought, well, just stay at home with me 24 hours a day for the rest of our lives and play with the baby, but I want you to make every cent that you're making now still. That's not how it worked, and Bobby knew that. Bobby was aware. So Bobby's like, well, I'm going to Las Vegas because I have a business meeting down there. And then this wretched Rosa was like, I don't want any girls talking to or touching him ever. But yet, she has two guys that she never met, half naked on a beach, running around like Shane McMahon on an entrance, with their hands all over. She has no issues with that. And she's driving everywhere with these guys, going to dinner with them. She had never met them before that day. But if Bobby was talking about selling shirts to selling a casino gift shop to a female casino manager, Rosa was ready to kill Bobby. Couldn't accept that. Unacceptable. What kind of double standard is that? But Bobby didn't assault Rosie. He didn't say, well, let me know when the baby's out and I'll take her to safety and cut you out because I'll get a good lawyer. He should have said that. And then he comes back, and Rose's like, well, I was worried because you were shirtless, and there might have been a woman in Las Vegas, a city with a woman in it. I can't believe you would go to a city where a woman lives that's not me. And he's like, but don't you go on the road every week and your profession includes 35 men wearing a skimpy pair of trunks and nothing else? And she's like, we're not talking about me. Not talking about me.
Yes.
And Bobby's like, well, I got you this engagement ring, but I'm kind of second-guessing myself now. But it was too late for him. He knew in his heart he made the wrong decision, but he didn't say, I'm going to just take it back. He let her keep it. For now. For now.
Well, who else do you like?
I had Anvil. Now, Anvil in this... Go ahead and interrupt me.
I already laid out my Anvil love, so...
Anvil goes to his daughter's place. And instantly, the first thing he sees is she's made up her mother to look like a domestic violence victim when Anvil has a history of drug abuse, domestic violence. He's been in prison. And she's going to send her mother home like that. She's like, well, the cops won't question it. They'll just think it's a makeup job. Like normal people wear makeup like that. Anvil didn't punch his daughter in the face and say, well, now I have a reason to go to jail, but he should have. And then he's looking at this picture. He's like, oh, yeah. Back in the early 70s, this Russian track coach wanted us to mate with the Russian athletes to have superior athletes. Ellie's just sitting there, that would have been nice, Jim.
Yeah.
But, and then now he's like, oh, we got to get a picture. We never got pictures because you were always on the road and we were ashamed. And I was always running off and doing stupid stuff like crashing cars into walls to avoid drug tests. Let's get a picture now because we don't have any pictures despite the ones we were just looking at 2 seconds earlier. Discount those. Anvil's like, all right, I'll play along. And then they try to get this size children's large shirt on Jim the Anvil Neidhart, who looked to weigh 375 pounds. It was a stretch. It was a big stretch to get that shirt on him. He probably could not breathe. If he would have raised his arm.
Stretch. Hey, wait, appreciate your pun there. That's right, it was a big stretch.
He probably couldn't breathe. If he would have bent down to tie his shoe, the shirt would have ripped in the back.
You
but he
say
had to
it was
stand
a bit
there.
Of a stretch.
He had to stand there holding his breath the whole rest of the day. So his pink and black shirt with the skeleton hands on it to represent non-existent grandchildren that were in the imagination only of his wife could get immortalized in a photograph, which none of them would probably ever show in their home at all because they all looked so ridiculous.
Well, what else? Anyone else?
My number one was Rob. We discussed that earlier, but
yes.
The second he said, I know what your issues are. You drink way too much. Instant number one.
Yep.
Instantly.
Excellent fella.
And he was trying to teach Nikki all these techniques with the weightlifting and so forth. She just ignored him. Completely didn't care what he had to say despite going to him and asking him specifically to be her rehab coach. He's like telling her the proper form for this lift to do that will help her rehab her neck, and she's on her phone doing Instagram. Didn't care.
All right, let's wrap it up. We've been doing this too long. Fun show. Renamed Little Baby Bird Dicks. AKA. Yeah. Or
Raccoon Eyes.
Little Baby Bird Dicks, a.k.a. Raccoon Eyes. That's my new favorite rapper.
He's got a hot track out now with the, I don't know, whatever. Well, what do you got going on?
Well, Friday on Sign Guy's Wrestling Show, we have, as you might recall, Bobby Blaze from Smoky Mountain Wrestling, WCW. Got the book
Good
out.
Brother. Great brother.
Saturday, I'll be at Paulsboro, Washington for Suquamish Championship Wrestling. Then Sunday, I have on Turnbuckle Turmoil. Let's see, this coming Sunday would be Steve the Brawler Lawler, Southern veteran. And then from there, I got to beeline it down to Portland for NWA Blue Collar, where last week, for unknown reasons, temporarily the NWA Blue Collar Wrestling Tag Team Champions were a dress-clad Gregor Petrov and that idiot Darth Carter.
I see.
I didn't see it because I was in the back getting NWA ladder match rules down in case I needed to take over for T-Rex if he'd had a heart attack or something. But apparently it was a real thing.
A real thing, eh?
That was what I was told.
Well, sounds like a pretty packed time. I'll be drinking heavily, watching basketball tomorrow. Most of Friday, watch the Indiana Hoosiers, hopefully beat the Kentucky Wildcats on Saturday.
Not according to my brackets.
Your brackets are dumb as shit then.
Nope.
But that's my days for the next 4 days. It'll be a lot of basketball.
Are you going to actually play some basketball?
Yeah, I might play some NBA 2K16 on the Xbox One.
When I say actual basketball, I mean with an actual basketball involved.
Oh, God, no. What do I look like, a poor person?
Kind of. You and Crittenden aren't going to go one-on-one down at the Donner Park basketball courts?
No, I'm not going to take on the cricket in a game. I will be watching it. So that's it. We're done. Have a good week, Sign Guy. I'll talk to you again. Until then, Sign Guy Max. Bye. Thanks.
Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. It's time.